to make sense of it after the last 2 days, right?
And what is his unique thing in life?
Well, I'll get to that one. Tony's going to say water. Because we're 98% water, right? Okay. Not that Tony would hear us right now, but that's okay. So, Ronnie's from West Union, South Carolina. He's a project engineer. He works on products like Ryobi and, I don't know, do you need to do a rigid at all? Or rigid? Okay. So, he travels back and forth to China. He always takes his Bible with him. But that's because he has a cutout with a bunch of power bars in there. Can't go to China regularly and have a stomach like mine. You would lose weight quickly. He's been married, he says, a good chunk of his life.
Give him one little thing to do, and he messes up.
All right, so I paraphrase, okay? They're married to Lori, and they have two children. They have, I guess, $6,000 in the bank. I don't know.
Six grand.
Six grandchildren, maybe. Oh, okay, that's it. So he abbreviated. So forgive me, I didn't understand that. How many years in right division? He said understanding over 40 years, but he's actually been a adopted son before the overthrow. Ooh, before the overthrow. Ooh. Ooh. Deep. Really deep. Really deep. Okay?
This is a painful part.
What's the unusual fact? He said, nothing public.
No, no republic.
Over pile talk.
What? I'm going to have to read this again.
I told you, if you didn't type this thing out, I wasn't going to be able to read this. All right? A fun fact. He has performed 20 marriages, including both of his children. Oh. Are they still married?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So far.
Legally.
So far. Legally. All right. Good. His favorite color is blue. Good. Good. And his topic, I'll let him introduce and why. But let me just give you my insight, okay? And actually, I called around and asked several people because this, you know, I just got this morning. I haven't had a chance to really digest it. So the first person I called was Mike. Actually, I text Mike. Okay, that's a lie because Mike doesn't text. Okay. And Mike said, I only know one thing about him, and that's that he's rotten, right? So rotten Ronnie, right? So are you raising your hand or are you like power of the people?
Yeah, that's okay. Hail.
Hail, okay. All right, so Mike the weatherman, who's predicting hail, said that, you know, for a guy that's rotten, he's not bad. That's as good as you're going to get from him. Okay. Yeah. What I know about Ron is that he has a way of expressing the word in ways that only a fine gentleman from the South could, with grits in his mouth. And what comes out of that is deep. You know, like grits, it sticks with you. Like grits, you think about, wow, that is just heavy. That is just heavy. And I hear him say things from time to time, and I like, okay, I've read that a lot. I've heard people speak on it from the Greek perspective, the Hebrew perspective, and then we've got the Rani perspective. And the Rani perspective just boils it all down, and, you know, and everything's gone but the pure facts. And it's simple and easy to understand. And when we talk about being, you know, ministers of this truth, of this secret that was given to us, and go back to the analogy I used before, that in warfare, as Mike was talking about, you know, we're secret agents. We are agents of the secret. And because of that, we are in trouble every day. It is mission impossible. And everybody is against us. We have no one but ourselves, right here, this group, to be able to lean on. And sometimes even this group seems to betray us. Mike reaches out. We screen his calls. He thinks to himself, you know, I thought they were my friends. You know, just because I work for a living, okay, and cannot take his calls at 6 o'clock in the morning or at 10 o'clock at night, it seems as though we've betrayed each other, because we don't know what we don't know, and we're not there to help unless you tell us what you need help with. And unless we communicate to each other, you know, why would we expect that someone's going to come up to us and say, what can I help you with right now? What do you need? So with that, I know that when I need help, I can turn to the lithium battery guy to pick me up, to power me up, and that's why he's the closer.
I don't know if I can live up to all that. I knew. If you ever get asked to speak at one of these things, the forest asks you to fill out one of these little papers, don't. Just don't. Nothing worse than being introduced to a forest. But I do appreciate the guy. I love him. I think he loves us, Mike. I'm not really sure at this point. He certainly has his fun messing with us, but he's something. But I love him, love all you guys, and I want to tell you that up front, because being here is awesome, absolutely awesome. And before I get too far off track here, I know we're on limited time. I want to say greetings from all the saints in South Carolina who could not be here. Mom, Dad, Chip, Tony, and Candy, various others in the group, and let you guys know how much they love you and pray for you. And I hope you do the same for them, but I wanted to pass on all the hellos from the crowd in Carolina. And big time thanks to Forrest, Kathleen, Priscilla, Barney, Kelly, and Doherty and Tony for all their labor and love and planning and executing this awesome conference. So let's give them all a hand. I told Forrest, I said, you know, these things, they just seem to get better every time for me. I don't know how that is or how that works. But the Lord does just keep, he keeps pouring it out, and I keep lapping it up. And yes, I am rotten, Mikey, and I love every minute of it. I love absolutely every minute of being rotten. As long as the Father wants to spoil me, I'm not going to fight him. I'll just keep going right on like it is. Wanted to say that. I also wanted to say thanks be to the Father, for all the awesome and edifying studies from Barney, Forrest, Stephan, Tony, and Mikey. I was absolutely thoroughly blessed. So let's give these guys a hand, too. Thoroughly blessed. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going here. So bow with me. Father, we come again, and we do thank you for this time that is ours to break open and study yet another small portion of your word. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the Christ that it speaks about, for the Christ that makes a difference in our lives, for the Christ that defines who we are in him, and for the Christ that gives us our life and our being. God, thank you for all these things. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that brings them to life in our minds and our hearts. Thank you for the revelation of your word in our lives. And thank you for all things that we have in him. For it's in his name this morning we do humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that. I also want to remind everybody about the Pow Talk studies. Probably everybody in here knows about the weekly Pow Talk studies that we have. Tuesday nights, 8:15 Eastern. Wednesday night with Dad, 8:15 Eastern. And Sunday mornings at, I'm not sure what the times will be now with the time change, Barney. But what time do you start Eastern time? Do you remember? Okay, yeah, we'll get back on that. But Barney and I will work out the times on the Sunday studies. I have a Sunday study with Barney, Sunday study that we're doing from my house. So remind everybody about that and the website. And kudos to Chip. I sent the recordings from yesterday last night. He says he's already got them on the website. So he's big help to me. A lot of folks that do a lot of things behind the scenes and aren't standing up here, the most of all is my wife, who helps me endlessly and makes a big difference in my life. So I want to say that too.
Amen.
What, Tony? Go ahead.
Quickly, just wanted to share. Somebody has already reached out to me, saying that we're blessed.
Oh, great.
I was surprised it was this morning.
Wow, wonderful. That's awesome. That's what it's all about, is getting the feedback. And a lot of people make that happen. I just do the recordings and send them, and Chip just magically puts it all up there. So I'm indebted to him. I really appreciate his help. So let's get started. Everybody set their clocks back this morning? All right, so I got the major question.
No, we don't have, because when we get to Arizona, it's
going to be the same, right, Tony? Tony says they're not going to mess with their clocks. They're just going to be the same when they get back to Arizona. Well, the big question for today, in case you haven't wondered, is, does anybody really absolutely know what time it is?
Does anybody care?
Does anybody really care? About time. See, you thought that you pull one over on me. So in 1969, remember the rock group Chicago, and I'm not going to sing it for you because that would be horrible. I'd trash my whole study. But they asked the same question in a hit song. They had a hit song, does anybody really know what time it is? And see, you guys recited the lines back to me. So the slide did exactly what I wanted it to do. It got everybody involved. See, everybody's involved now. So does anybody really know what time it is? And more importantly, this is a very relevant statement regarding God's purposes. So do we really know what time it is? When you put it in that perspective. Now I look at my watch, and it's thoroughly messed. Well, I did set it back. So I've got my hour backwards on my watch, and it says 2:13. So always, whether I'm in Arizona, China, whatever, I always leave my watch on what my local time is. And that connects me back to where I typically hang out. And then I can measure everything relative to that. Even when I go to China, I leave my watch like it is. And normally that works out really well because they're exactly 12 hours out. And all I've got to change is the AM, PM, and even I can handle that. You know, I can figure out whether it's night or day, you know, whether I'm up and moving or laying in the bed. I got that much. So I've got that much.
But the big question and the relevant statement regarding God's purposes is, do you really know what time it is? Do you? I ask myself that all the time. Do we really know?
We're in the latter time.
Amen. I mean, we are in the latter time. I believe you're exactly right. And I had a little picture, man, to go with this. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. I want to read those. Genesis 1, 14 through 19. If I can get arranged here. And God said, do you know, of course, this is after the restoration begins, the restoration of creation. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And I thought this verse was very relevant today because we set our clocks back last night for daylight savings time. He says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And I'm going to read down through verse 19 just so we can get the context here. He says in 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the expanse, in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day, verse 18, and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Okay? Now, there's my little guy. Time is, as of this verse, time is what? Time is going. It's set in motion, right? He's moving along there. And he magically appeared. I couldn't get that to work. Isn't that funny how the Lord works? I couldn't get that to work when I was playing with it this morning. Couple of words here in these verses that I just read that I want to go back and note particularly. Time is set in motion. Now, anything before this point in Genesis, I believe, 14 through 19, 14 in particular, anything before this point is according to divine purpose, not time. Because I don't believe we have the license to measure things in time when time had not yet been set in motion, when it didn't exist. Everybody agree with that? Maybe. Maybe not. Is that a logical statement? Maybe. Maybe not. But I believe that everything prior to that point, this is Ronnie's belief, you can agree or disagree. I say this on Pal Talk all the time. I'm not going to threaten anybody with Mikey if you don't agree with me. Mikey does my light work. So that's okay. You don't have to agree. But I believe that anything prior to this is according to purpose and not time. Now let's look at a couple of words. Now, I bet there's a laser on this thing in there. A little red button. Look at that. The word, you see in verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. The word signs there is Strong's number 0226. It's the Hebrew word off, I guess is how you pronounce that. And it means what? Things to come, a signal, or a beacon, and this is off of the lexicon that I use in my computer. Things to come. A signal or a beacon. And the other word, seasons, that you see here in verse 14, is the Hebrew word moed, and it means appointed times, a fixed time or season. So you see the difference in the two. One is just things to come. In general, it's a signal or a beacon. Nothing really. I mean, you see a signal out there, but you still don't know what it's telling you. And then seasons means a fixed time. A fixed time or a fixed season. Something that's nailed down or fastened a little better. So, can you give me some examples, Rummy? Well, I think so. And you've seen this before. Everybody's seen this before. Nothing new here. Psalms 19. Let's read verses 1 through 6. Psalms 19, 1 through 6 says, the heavens, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. The heavens do. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, what? It speaks. It utters speech. And night unto night, it does what? Shows what? Knowledge. That's interesting. There is no speech nor language where their voice, who is there, their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So the sun literally tabernacles within the ecliptic, they call it, where the stars are in the firmament. Tabernacle for the sun, he said, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Isn't that interesting? That the heavens declare. And I believe seriously that as mankind gets older and older and older and further away from the restoration, that we understand less and less and less and less about what God had to say in the stars. I believe there's a message there that God placed there. Can't be tampered with by man. It can't be tampered with by Satan. It is what it is. And there's an incredible study here. I've mentioned it several times that Oscar put together, the study of the Masoret. And that's what it's called, and I believe it's in the book of Job. It's referred to as the Masoret. The plan in the stars. God's plan of redemption is written in the heavens. It's written in the stars. If you've never seen this, you need to look into it, because it's very interesting. So, this I'm using as an example. Psalms 19, 1 through 6. This is the sign, some of the signs and the seasons. That's what they're here for. And remember what they declare. Here's the big part. What is, or who is a better question. Who is the glory of God? The Son of God is the glory of God, I believe. In all His glory is His Son. The heavens declare the glory of God. And if you look into this Masoret study, you'll find that it's about the things concerning the events that are going to take place with the Lord, with Christ. His birth, the dragon. There's one of the constellations is the dragon. And it's all there. It's incredible. So this, I use this as one of the examples. Now let's dig into this a little bit. Psalms 1:1. That word declare there that was in Psalms 1. If you look back, it's right here. The word declare is the Hebrew word tefar. And it means to score with a mark as a tally or a record. Did you know that? The heavens keep track of the glory of God. Isn't that something? I didn't realize this until I really started digging into it a little bit. Like a tally sheet. Anybody ever done the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to keep up with something? I do that all the time. It works if I'm counting teeth on a gear or something. Try to figure out what the ratio is. You just count them and do a little tally sheet. And that's what it means. It means to score with a mark as a tally or a record. You're keeping track or measuring. And then interestingly enough, the word handiwork there is ma'asa. And it means an action or an operation. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Let's go back. What does it say? The heavens declare or tally up the glory of God, and the firmament shows what? His operations. The things that God is up to. What is God up to? Now, like I said, I believe down through the centuries, we've lost a lot of what early man probably had as a great understanding, especially within the nation of Israel. We've lost a lot of that understanding of what the constellations and the stars really mean. Maybe never to be got back, I don't know. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that God operates in purpose, but He defines or measures such using time for whose benefit? Did God need the sun, the moon, the stars, all those things in Genesis 1-1 when He restored creation? Did God need that for His own personal use? I don't think so. You may disagree. I don't think so. I know that these things adorned cosmos. They adorned the expanse that God made that Mikey mentioned that is, I believe, so big that we can't really get our brain around it. How big that space is out here. If you just go and look up through the sky, that's what always blows my mind about looking out at the sky at night, is how big it really is, how far it goes. And we don't even know. I mean, there are galaxies out there that are light years away. And God has control over all this. That blows my mind. But He does. I believe it. I believe that He really does. So God operates not in time. Time, I believe, is for our benefit. Time is so that He can somehow show these creatures on this dust speck in the middle of all this expanse a little bit of what He's up to. That's what it's all about. So, He defines or measures such using time for our benefit. Not His, but ours. And God is only limited by how He chooses to limit Himself. You will never limit God in any way. Never. You cannot do it. You're physically, I don't believe we're able to limit what God can do. Only God can limit Himself in how He chooses, and usually it's in some way of dealing with us so that we can comprehend it. He'll either put a date on something, or He say, if you do this, I will do this. That's the only way God ever limits Himself in His Word, is how He chooses to do it to Himself. We cannot, I don't believe, limit God, because we are the clay, and He is the potter. We're not the boss of me. Is that a good way to put it? Well, Lori tells me every now and then. You're not the boss of me. No, I'm born asked, don't let me forget to kill you. I've got to do that before the end of the day. I'm joking. Barney's study was so awesome, and it made such an impression on my wife that she's chosen to use it on me several times while we were getting ready. I'm like, you know, we're under, you know, we got to go. And she's at the mirror doing the, well, she went to the window of the, I guess to get enough light, I don't know. I don't know how this makeup thing works. So she goes to the window of the hotel room, and she's putting this stuff on. And I'm like, is this all that's necessary? You know, we should have been gone 5 minutes ago. And she's going to, so I'm with you. I'm bad after this anyway, so. Oh, but anyway, you get my point. God measures as we need it, not as He needs it. It's not Him that needs time, it's us. And I believe that. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 2. And I didn't put this one on the board. Hebrews chapter 1. And another reference to this, I want to show you something else God did. Hebrews chapter 1. If I can find it. And I love these verses. A couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, did what? Paul says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? By his Son. Not by the prophets anymore. God sent his Son and he spoke to us. He talked to us. He was with us in the flesh. He showed us things. He told us things. He was here. He was a man. He wasn't a spirit being floating around. He was just like us. He was one of us. And it goes on to say, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, a little bit of a bad translation there. The made the world, by whom Christ, he prepared the ages also, is how that should read. So you see, the first thing Paul tells the Hebrews when he writes his epistle to them, that this Jesus, the Son that God sent, is the not only the heir of all things, but by him he framed the dispensations, literally. Or he prepared the ages. And ages, I believe, have to do with time. I believe you have before age time, you have age time, and then you have after age time. Now, after age time may involve some length of time. I don't know. I'm still looking into that. I got a lot of things that I don't understand. Trust me. Everybody here, I think if we're honest, we got a lot of stuff we don't really understand. Except for if you got it all figured out. Especially how they introduce people.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a little thorn in my crawl here. I'm trying to get it out. But two things in verse 2 here. Made is the Greek word poio. I'm sure I mispronounced that. Which means to purpose or appoint. By whom also he appointed the ages or the times. He appointed the ages or the times. Now, he appointed them so though we don't have the specific times for all God's purposes, I believe we can establish some events and the order of some of those events. Would you agree with that? Everybody, I love to pick one spot and make them raise their hand. Would you agree that some events, we can at least say, well, we know what the order of the events are? We may not know the times or the seasons, right? We may not know the times or the seasons. I think we can know some of the events and some of the order. So God operates in purpose, but he defines or measures such using time for man's benefit. Remember that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I don't remember if I think I did that. Acts chapter 1. I want to read you some verses. Another buttress for what I just said here. Now, I'm almost done, hopefully. Acts chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 7. This is Luke speaking. He says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So stay in Jerusalem, don't leave, and wait till you hear from me. Is what he told them to do. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized, he told them, with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we know from the account that took place. He said, when they therefore were come together, I get the picture. They're going to come together with him. They ask of him, they're going to ask him a question. And they ask of him saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Perfectly logical question. Man, we've seen the power. We've seen you raised. We are here. We're about to get power ourselves. Is it time? Are you really now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we on the comeback trail? It's like being down. It's like the Packers being down 4 touchdowns and just coming straight back. Is it time? Yeah, it's time. Is that what he told them? Look at verse 7. I've got to admit that if I'd have been one of the disciples that asked him this question, I would have been a little disappointed at the answer. Because what is he telling them? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That's a little bit much that you're asking there, guys. There are things that the Father has reserved just for himself. You see my example here? So though we don't have the specific times for all of God's purposes, we can establish, I think, at least some events in the order of those events. I think I base that on what the Lord said here in Acts 1:7. There are just some things that we know are going to happen, and we don't know how to set our clocks to it. We just don't know how to set our clocks to it. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. There in verse 7, I want to take a look at this right quick. The word times, if you look at verse 7 in Acts chapter 1, time there in verse 7 where he says, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Now, where have you seen that before? Where did we see that? We saw that in Genesis, didn't we? You mean they really are keeping that? He really is keeping the tally? And that there's knowledge there to be known if Christ would reveal it to him? Yes. There certainly is. There was knowledge to be known right there had he revealed it to him. He could have told him the exact second or nanosecond if it would have been within his will and his power. But he chose not to do it because it was not the Father's will that they know these things. And sometimes we have to, I think, have to accept that because that's the Father's will. How am I doing on time? Manned our lunch yet?
10 minutes.
Okay. The word chronos there means, the word times there is chronos, where we get our word chronology. And it means a space of time in very general terms. Just a space of time. It's not limited on one end or the other. That's all it means. Very general. Seasons is the Greek word kairos, and it means an occasion, a set or a proper time. Sort of like back in Genesis, you remember? Very similar. Seasons there in the Greek, I think it's kind of taken and transliterated sort of over from the Hebrew into the Greek here a little bit. So again, though we don't have the specific times for all of God's purposes, we can establish some events in order of events. Can't we? But from what? Where do we get our events and where do we get our order of events if we're going to do this? Exactly. Where do we get it? We get it from. Is there a message there to understand? Remember what I said? We can't change it. We can't take it away. Satan can't either. That message is still there if we just had the understanding to understand it. And I believe there is a mathematical precision to the way the sun moves through the eclectic and moves through some of these constellations that we don't understand. My little brain can't get around it. So I believe that we can know it from the message in the stars if we can interpret it. And we also get it how? We can get it from the Word of God, as Tony pointed out. The message from His Spirit. God's Spirit moved in the hearts of each of the men that wrote each of the books that go into this book. And God has revealed himself to us in this word. So if we're going to get any information about what's coming next, we're not going to, what's the guy's name? Nostradamus. You're not going to get it from Nostradamus. You're not going to get it from the palm reader down the street. If you're going to get any truth, you're going to get it right here about what's to come, the things to come, what's going to happen next. You get that all the time. That's a very common theme with people. They want to know, when they see you might know a little bit about Scripture, well, what do you think is going to happen next? And a lot of times the answer is, I absolutely don't know. But that's two ways that I know of that we could get it. One, obviously, is much more obtainable than the other. Because I do not even profess to know enough about the Maseroth to even talk about it. I'm surprised Ronnie let me bring it up. Yeah, I'm schizophrenic, I guess, and I am too. I guess that's what happened. So, the study so far in this conference, and I'm going to wind it up here, the study so far have been very awesome and edifying and very practical for our walk in this age. I totally believe that. This is one of the most practical walk conferences I've ever been to, about where almost every speaker is, many you talk about, wound and knit together, they were. Barney, our walk in Ephesians, the marriage relationship. Forrest had 5 points on unity and division within the body of Christ. Stephan, the litmus test. It was great for our walk as believers in Christ. There's a litmus test for that. Tony, how to handle extreme adversity and dark days in our life. Because they're going to come, aren't they, Tony? You're going to have them. You are not guaranteed comfort as members of the body of Christ. And then Mikey, this whole armor. 2 studies on the whole armor. And the real enemy that's out there to get us in our lives today. All these things. But there remains yet a big question at the end of all this. And there's the big question. Once we go through these lives, you know, these guys have given us tips, given us scripture, given us hope, given us promise, given us reassurance in the scripture of how to handle these things. But at the end of that, what comes next in God's plan and purpose? Now, don't start looking at me like I've got all the answers for this. Because I don't. What comes next? I do think I may have something that may help you with step number one. I'll tell you what I think comes next. What's at the end of this dispensation? I'm staying in the box, huh?
Okay.
Oh, that's close. He does need a little yellow.
Yeah.
Like a caution. Like out of bounds. You're out of bounds.
That's why we put rails down.
Yeah, that's what you told Mike, as I remember. So what comes next in God's plan and purpose? Well, since Israel was pronounced Lo-Ami in Acts 28:28, and I might say that Lo-Ami, some of you may pronounce it differently. You get the picture. It's out of Hosea. Since they were pronounced Lo-Ami in Acts 28 by Paul, and the clock for Israel has stopped, and God literally does not count time. And if you don't believe that, go back and compare Paul's account of a certain time period in Acts 13 to the actual accounts back in the book of Kings of the captivity periods of Israel. You will, if you do it according to the Companion Bible, you will come up with a 93-year difference in Paul's account and the account in Kings. And why is that? That exists because time for Israel, when it stops, when God puts Israel in time out, guess what? Clock ain't running for him. Now, is time going right on? Yeah. And you've got one type of time reckoning used by Paul in Acts 13, and you've got another type in the Old Testament where the actual time periods are recorded. Blows my mind every time I look at it. And it comes out to be exactly 93 years, I believe. And then they reconcile perfectly. If you add those years back that Israel was captive, Lo am I, not my people. It works out perfectly. The two jive together again. It's incredible. So what event now restarts God's clock and gets it moving again towards all in all mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28? Now, let's turn there for just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15, I've read this before, and this is kind of this whole study is a little bit of a takeoff on one that I did, back in June at the conference there in at TFT. 1 Corinthians 15, 24-28 says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him," listen to this, "then shall the Son also himself be subject under him, the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." In the beginning, God was all. At the end, God's going to be what? All and in all. There's another all added. Why is that? There's another all added. Now, what restarts God's clock and gets it moving again towards all in all? I'm almost done here. Turn with me to Colossians. This is important. Book of Colossians. I thought I had it marked. I actually did. In my loose leaf Bible. You would think that TFT would give me a new one. You have to give a Dutch on that too. Very quickly, "For this cause we also," Paul says in Colossians 1:9, this is our hope. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you in the desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us," verse 13, "from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins," verse 15, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created." Remember, we were back in Genesis. You can't separate Christ and creation. There's no way you can do it. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers." All things, he says, were created by him and for him. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." You see that word? Literally in the Greek it means cohere. He is the power that holds all of creation together, and without him it would just fly apart. The atoms in our body would just fly apart. We would be nothing. It would be chaos. God is order. Without God is chaos. It's very simple. Always remember that. Without God, it's always chaos. Now, the verses in particular that I want you to see are right here. Especially verses 18 through 20, because I believe this is where we're going next. And when I get finished, you can agree or disagree, because I'm minutes from being done. He is the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What are we to Christ? We are his body. We are his fullness. Are we not? Paul makes that very clear to me in Ephesians and several verses in Colossians. Now, if 19 is correct, and it pleased the Father that in Christ, in Him, should all fullness dwell, then who are we talking about right here? You see this colon? That colon was added by who? By the King James translators. Is that colon there in the Greek?
No,
I don't think so. What I'm saying is this. He is the head of the body, the church. From here on out, in that verse, Ronnie McCurry believes we are talking about the church, not about Christ. We're talking about the part of Christ that is the church. Who is the beginning? Now, let's look at these words a little bit. I believe verses 18 through 20 tell us implicitly what is coming next in God's purpose, without doubt, to me. You see this is in verse 18? Right here, who is the beginning? It's the Greek word esteem. And it is a third person singular present indicative of 15:10. He, she, or it is. The church is. You see that? Maybe I don't understand my Greek. Maybe I don't understand my Greek tenses. Maybe I don't understand the layout of the sentence. But it sure looks like to me that if we're going to say something and then say who is, that we're talking about the something we just mentioned. Christ has already been talked about in the previous verses of what He is, His essence, who He is. I believe here we're talking about the church. He, she, or it is. Who is the church? The assembly, the ecclesia. Who is the beginning? What is beginning there? It's the Greek word arche, a commencement, or concretely chief, first in order. It's what it means. It means the first one's out. You know, when they attack a beach, who's the first ones out? The Marines, usually. But usually they send the planes in, the Air Force, the first ones out. Who do you think these first ones are here? With this commencement, this chief in order, chief in time, chief in place, chief in rank. Can Christ complete all that the Father has for Him to complete if He's not complete Himself? Have you ever wondered that? Does He need His body to fulfill His purposes? Well, man, I hope He does. Because if He don't, we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. Because we have been falsely teaching all this time. Do you see what I'm saying? I believe, and this verse has bothered me for a very long time, and I want to use this as a springboard for a series of studies that I want to do for the next upcoming Sundays after we get through with the Cosmos series. To begin to look at some of the order of these things that are going to happen. I believe we need to know these things. I believe we can understand a lot of what's in there that's prophetically told in the Scripture as believers. So I believe that when you read 18 and 19 backs it up, for it pleased the Father, we're still talking about the church here, aren't we? Because we are what? We're the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And if we are, then I believe it's got to be us that we're being talked about right here, which goes right back to this. Now, I know that I'm not sure where Bullinger or Welch either one stands on this. I may be, or even Baker. I'm out on my limb here by myself. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't. That's okay. I will not be responsible to you for what I believe, and you won't be responsible to me. We both will be responsible to the Lord for what we have taught and for what we put forth. And if I didn't think it, I wouldn't put it forth. But you search and see. You search and see if it seems to make sense to you. Yes, Tony. If I die, Let's say Ronnie McCurry dies between now. We have many that have. Many that hold this faith are dead now. Are they not? Do they have to have a resurrection to be given their hope? I think so. And look at this. You see the from among the dead here? Let me read that verse translated. I don't know if I wrote it in here or not. I must not have. Let's read the verse translated. And he is the head of the body, the church, the assembly, who is the commencement, the firstborn out from among the dead bodies. Can Christ be the firstborn out from among the dead bodies? No, he's already done that. As a matter of fact, there were dead bodies that were brought back before he was resurrected. Lazarus, for one. John 11. Now, like I say, you can agree or disagree, but let's look at what the verse says. He is the head of the body, the church, the assembly, who is the commencement, the firstborn out from among the dead bodies, in order that in all things he might become the preeminent one. Can he be the preeminent one if the church isn't resurrected? I don't think so. Not without his body. You ever wondered about this? This has bothered me for years. Bothered me for years. And I think maybe I have a handle on it now. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. Verse 19, I believe it pleases the Father, which says that all fullness dwells in Christ due to the operation that we're talking about here in verse 18. I believe verse 19, let me go back to it. Verse 19 buttresses verse 18. Because the fullness dwells in Christ when the church is manifested with him in the heavenly. And then verse 20, now, with his body and completeness restored, he, Christ, can commence the reconciliation of all things to himself so that we can just get on with all in all. Turn with me to Romans 11, 33, and I'm done. Romans 11, 33. Very awesome statement. Which says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Thank you for being here and being who you are in Christ, and for the testimony that each one of you guys have in him. Bow with me and we'll bless the food and close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. Father, for all the grace and the love and the mercy that you bestow on us in measures that we can't count. Thank you so much for this word and for the truth and the power of it. Father, we pray that all things that were said and done today were said and done for the uplifting and the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his purposes and for the edifying of the body. Be with us as we conclude the conference now and turn it back over to Forrest. Father, we thank you for these that put this on, for the labor of love that they've done. Thank you for all things in Christ, for it's in his name we do pray. Amen. And thank you much. You have the floor, Mr. Cottrell. Let me turn my mic on.
So you told everybody not to let me introduce them. So had you given me your information so that I could prepare for it, so that I could read it.
See, I thought I could outsmart you.
I would have just let you tell the story. That's so that I didn't have to ad lib. You let me ad lib. You don't know what's going to come out of this mouth.
See, I'll know that next time.
And it could be the Holy Spirit. Then again, it could not be. So I was going to kind of summarize what some of the speakers have talked about But Ronnie just did that. He talked about what Barney mentioned in terms of marriage, myself, unity, Stefan, litmus test, Tony, fiery darts, Mike, the whole armor, and Ronnie, I have no idea. I got lost at punctuation and the colon. And when I earlier had said, you know, some of the things he says, they really stick with you like grits, and they're heavy. What I now realize is that they're so hard to digest, it's going to take a while. And I'm not sure if I agree with you or disagree with you.
Oh, that's great.
But you opened my eyes to something that I need to study. And I would hope that each of you, you know, leave here with the inspiration to say, you know what, there's some things that I need to study. There's some things that I need to know what I know and what I believe, and that this secret that we have, this process, this method of studying, which is right division, is something that you realize, yes, it's work. And not everybody's willing to put that work in. A lot of people just like the milk. It's easy. And this is something to chew on from time to time. And I am thankful that you gave me something to chew on. Each of you did. And I look forward to the days that come forward and the seasons as they are. And while we may not...